This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News Panel on AMI. I'm Dave Brown, joined by Michelle McQuigg and Joita Gupta. Let's address our next topic. Almost 100,000 mail-in ballots were not counted in the federal election last year. A new report from Elections Canada has revealed 99,988 special ballots were, quote, set aside and not counted because they arrived too late, were not filled in properly, or lacked a signature. The Elections Canada analysis found an 82% increase in the number of mail-in ballots in last year's election compared to 2019. The report said more than 1.1 million special ballots were received. So as I mentioned there, in most cases, it was a user error or missing a deadline. Even still, that's nearly 10% of the 1.1 million special ballots that went out. That's a lot. Michelle, do you find that number concerning?
Especially at a time when we are struggling to deal with low civic engagement more generally, right? We had bad voter turnout for the federal election last year. We had a horrible voter turnout in the Ontario election. We know that special balloting is one potential mechanism, not necessarily one that's widely used, but one that I think a lot of people would be interested in making use of. The spike alone last year is interesting and speaks to me of the demand. Obviously, COVID exacerbated that, but I think it speaks to more of a pent-up demand. If that many of your ballots are going astray or not able to be counted, especially in the kind of system we have right now, when we frequently see parties assuming power without the benefit of the popular vote, that is really concerning to me. I don't think it's going to do a whole lot to bolster civic engagement. I don't think it's going to do a whole lot to further instill confidence in our electoral system. Obviously, there are many cries for reform, and this might be part of it, but I don't see a good side to this at all. I do find it very concerning, and it certainly raises a lot of questions about alternate ways to proceed.
Joita, even considering that part of this was indeed user error, do you find the idea that 10%, nearly 10% of special ballots were cast aside, do you find that concerning?
I do. I absolutely do. I note that that was a large spike, as you indicated, Dave, just because more people were requesting the special ballots, largely owing to COVID-19. One of the things that I don't know, and maybe Michelle can shed some light on this, is whether the 10% is uniform across previous elections. So in 2019, for example, during the federal elections, were 10% of the votes cast aside? Is the 10% because of, the spike in the numbers of people and errors made and some of the complications brought about due to COVID? Or, do 10% of these ballots routinely get lost and or set aside? That it does change the picture considerably if you stop to think about it. The number in and of itself is very shocking, I'll grant you that.
I'll answer your question, Joita. I think it's a good question, but no, I don't know the answer as to whether or not that's a static figure that sort of is relatively consistent from year to year. But I don't know that answer, but it is a good question.
I didn't have that number either.
I couldn't find it. And the other thing that I'm curious about, and I think you'll agree that this is an important question, is what kind of an impact would it have actually had on the federal election? Granted, we ended up with what we started out with, but at least in a close writing or in a close race, it might have made a difference to count those votes and include them. But whether it would have made a huge difference to the outcome of the election itself, I do not know because nobody's done a study on that. So with all of those unknowns in place, there are still a number of things that do jump out as red flags that do concern me about this whole issue.
I would say anecdotally, just the mail delay issues. We know Canada Post has been banged up a lot, and we know that because a lot of these mail-in ballots that would be special ballots involve foreign postal services. I do imagine that COVID probably caused a bit of an increase there, but that's more of an instinctual, anecdotal piece of evidence rather than necessarily hard evidence.
I'm sure you're right, Dave. The other thing I will add to this is I don't know if we're going to be able to get those numbers. Elections Canada has said that this has been one of the first times that they've disclosed this much detail about the special balloting process. So the fact that we don't have the numbers, maybe that's because it simply wasn't disclosed before.
Yeah.
I hope this leads to a trend of additional reporting and a little more, bit more of a window into that process, because it is an interesting one.
As usual, Michelle and Dave are all about raw data because we're nerds.
Yes, we certainly are.
Now, again, I do want to come back to user error, because Elections Canada did indicate that a lot of this was user error. The ballot filled out improperly, whether that was an intentional spoiling, which does happen, or whether that was a matter of somebody not doing their signature properly on the ballot. Guys, this question is super, super obvious, so please, let's not go too long on it. But is, once again, even considering the user error side, but should there be super duper clear instructions on how someone should execute a special ballot, Juita? I don't mean like make sure all the fine print's there. I mean like big print, step 1, 2, 3. Here's what you have to do. Super duper plain language, clear.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't actually ever voted by special ballot myself, so I haven't seen the instructions that are on the ballot right now. So I don't know if they're super duper clear, because they might already be. There is an undeniable fact. Sometimes people just don't read instructions, no matter how clear they are. It's a fact of life. Yeah. With that said, I'm certainly quite happy to welcome any suggestions that make instructions clearer and make them available in plain language, especially as someone who cares about disability issues and encouraging civic engagement in disability issues. Large print, so important for low vision voters. Also plain language, really important for anyone with any kind of a cognitive disability. So no complaints there. The one thing that was a little strange to me was this need to have ballots arrive by 6 p.m. on election day in order to be counted. That one really struck me as a bit weird, because you could really just have a situation where you postmark it as being, you know, for election day, and then you maybe give them 10 days down the road to allow voters to submit to mail it in on election days, and give them maybe 10 days to allow those ballots to arrive. So that besides the user error issues, was the other thing that kind of really jumped out as me as being a little bit peculiar.
So I also can't speak to what the direct instructions on the special ballot were, but I will say simply going to the website and trying to request a special ballot was not a straightforward process. There were a lot of different windows. There were a lot of different dropdowns. It was quite an extensively not super duper easy process. So my instinct, once again, it's instinct, would suggest that the ballot that arrived had a ton of small prints on it and a lot of instructions rather than just clear instructions. Michelle, again, for the sake of time here, brevity, because we want to get to a lot of talk on the last topic today, but super duper clear instructions on special ballots?
Absolutely. For a lot of the same reasons Joita mentioned, those with intellectual disabilities or communication-related disabilities could really, really benefit from plain language, from maybe some illustrations if need be. Not only super clear instructions, but perhaps fewer steps, right? When you cast a ballot in person, there's only so much you really need to do. If you were to finally streamline the process of casting a special ballot, that might go some way to alleviating some of this. And of course, there's the elephant in the room of online voting, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah, let's go there. Realistically, Michelle, how long till we can just get on with online voting already?
I don't know. We've been seeing it in some municipalities in Canada. It's never been rolled out more broadly. I think there might have been one provincial election where it was used, but don't even quote me on that because I'm not positive. I have no idea, and I wish I understood more of where the holdup lay.
Yeah, I'm in that frustrated, exacerbated category too. Like, can we just get on with this, Joita? What do you think? Online voting, it's time.
I don't know if you saw the visual. I was like, while you guys were talking, I was shaking my head, because I can understand the temptation to go with online voting. As people with disabilities, it's convenient. It's often more accessible. But come on, guys, you can't hack paper ballots. There will always be, no matter how secure you make the system, an assumption or a presumption that the voting isn't secure, that someone's hacked it. You know, people will not be able to trust the results. And
people can hack paper ballots, though.
But not to the same extent. And really, we have mechanisms in place to ensure accountability and scrutineering and all kinds of other things in place just to make sure that paper ballots are more secure. I'm not convinced that we should be so quick to jump on the online voting bandwagon because it really will undermine the integrity of our election process. It's tempting, I'll grant you that. But honestly, just, you know, from the point of view of, you know, there's a great anecdote in the article that you sent around, Dave, where there was that one person who was flying in a helicopter and getting ballots from people in lighthouses. Let's not assume that everybody has the ability to vote online. Not everybody has access to an internet.
Oh, I'm not saying exclusive, Joita. We're not arguing exclusive. We're saying it needs to be an option.
No, I don't agree with it at all. I think this is, you know, one of those measures that seems really glossy and on the surface and seems like it'll be a good idea, but it will backfire on us in spectacular fashion. And honestly, if people have trouble figuring out paper ballots, can you imagine the confusion with filling out an online ballot? Where is my ID? Where is my password? How do I do this? It's a really bad idea.
We got to revisit this.
We should revisit this because I will also say there's a lot of charm with having senior citizens counting paper ballots at the end of a 12-hour workday. At polling stations. And I will say, every time I slide my Ontario election ballot into one of those machines, I'm like, this doesn't seem super scrutineerable. Because that's it in Ontario now. Like, you slide your little ballot into the machine and it counts it.
Exactly.
No, but like, what's the difference between that and online voting? We're still having a machine do the counting.
Yeah, but at least there are actually people there. There's somebody keeping an eye on things. I'm really not convinced about online voting. There, you know, and people will be less convinced about it the first time that you uncover some kind of a scandal or some example of election fraud. It's not as secure. Really, it's not. We've had so many examples of databases being hacked into and leaks and things like that. I cannot fathom why anyone would be willing to jump on this bandwagon and undermine our democratic process in such a fundamental way.
People seem to be pretty excited to undermine our democratic processes as it stands, so why not change the voting game too? But yeah, Michelle's right. We should absolutely revisit this on a slow news week. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.